I think it's just the infuriating part about nothing's being seems to be paying attention to it. Nobody seems
Yeah.
to be paying attention to it.
Well, you notice they're gonna sell lots of products talking about, the good of the environment. But if they actually started putting on the package, this will help save your sperm count. Like, that would probably sell really well
I know.
if they started
I
using that,
mean,
but nobody wants to talk about that.
hey, I mean, if you really want to get 50% or whatever it is now, it sounds like there's more men than or more women than men. If you say, hey, this is potentially, help the size of your penis, I'm telling you, guys are going to get on
Yeah,
board.
they're going to look at it at
Yes,
least.
exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Remember the podcast to save your penis.
Yes.
It's important stuff.
Save the podcast, save your penis. No. Heroes reference, no.
Wow.
Okay.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We appreciate you guys tuning in each week. For the new listeners, welcome. To old listeners, welcome back once again. So, we've got a very interesting topic to talk about this week. We're just talking about the end of humanity as we know it. Very lighthearted stuff.
Sweet. I'm glad we switched over from like pandemic
Yeah.
conversations to
We figured we'd give you guys a
end
break.
of the world.
Yeah, exactly. So I know I'm being a little dramatic, but we are talking about reproductive health and kind of the state of our reproductive health here in the Western, quote unquote, Western world. So we got to go in depth on that topic and some of the newest data released on that topic in the main part of the episode. But before we get to that, as we said earlier, welcome. But also want to thank you guys for tuning in. Our download numbers continue to climb, so that is thanks to you guys for sure. And it also thanks to those of you who are sharing the podcast with a friend.
Yes.
That's always very welcome. And you know what else is also welcome and appreciated? It's those rating reviews in the Apple Podcasts or in your favorite podcast app. We really need those, guys. We love hearing your guys' feedback, and we also need to know what type of topics you guys are interested in. Is it more nutrition stuff? Is it more exercise stuff? Is it more overall health, immunity, or reproductive health, which we're going to get into today? Let us know by in those rating reviews, or you guys can just contact us on social media. So before we get into the old the human race is ending, we're going to talk about our training recaps. Would you like to go first or
Oh
second?
yes, I would love to go first
Bring us back
following
up before
that.
I pull this back down.
Well, this past week has been this was a little bit of a slower week for me. So I started off the week doing a yoga and a Bar or Pilates, one of those, and I think it was actually a bar class. I essentially did like a couple really good, slow, just strength and stretching focus classes, and then I basically took the rest of the week off
Nice.
because
Much
I
needed.
had enough trouble just getting through the day. Energy wise. So, but I could definitely feel the fact that like my body's sort of stiff, a little bit achy, could really use some movement. So I'm hoping to be able to get back into it. Tomorrow, the weekends are actually never really rest times, I feel like. I always get in like I'm either doing some sort of errand or, just cleaning the house. This morning I danced around the house a little bit after you guys
Oh,
left. Sorry you
okay. I
missed
missed
that.
that.
Yeah, I did a little dancing this morning when you were here. I did a little dancing after you left.
There you go.
But yeah, it's just kind of whatever I felt like grooving with this weekend. And that's about it.
All right. Not too shabby, beat I feel. That. What's that?
I said beat that, being yeah. completely sarcastic.
I
feel like,
I think I was almost, I don't know if I got 5 workouts in this week. It would have been 3 weeks in a row. I know Monday was slightly derailed. I didn't get my spin in, but I know the day after that, I think I definitely got 4 workouts in. I can't remember if I got a workout later. At the gym, possibly. But anyways, you know, I'm splitting my time between Peloton, kettlebell, and body weight. I actually woke up what day was it? I believe it was Wednesday with some of the worst kind of neck and shoulder pain that I've had in a long time. I was actually able to schedule a massage. Because I knew I wasn't going to be able to go to my stretching and massage gun lady this week. So I was able to schedule a massage same day, and it actually helped tremendously.
That's good.
Yeah, I was really, really stoked about that because sometimes massages are hit or miss for me. But this one, honestly, I felt a million times better.
That's great. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I'm learning things about you, even though we live in the same house.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was like I said, I don't know. I feel it was a sleeping issue. Not to get too in depth, but I feel like I snore a lot when I'm on my back, so I try to lay on my side.
He does snore.
You've never heard of that before, but so I try to lay on my side, and then like I lay on my side all night, and like I wake up with my hands asleep and a pain in my neck. So. Anywho, that's not very interesting, but so basically went and got a massage, felt 100 times better, ended up working. I think I did a Peloton that day. No, I did do a kettlebell that day. Anywho, but regardless, feel way better now. Going back to my stretching and massage gun specialist this week, because last week I had to go get my blood taken to get my cholesterol readings back. So I'm still waiting to hear from that. Actually, I have a follow-up with my doctor this Wednesday, so we'll get to give you guys an update to see if the medication I'm on is helping my cholesterol levels. It's going to be interesting, being that I forgot to fast.
I was gonna say, did morning. You want to say that? Yep. You're faux pas.
I'm admitting to
total
my,
transparency here.
I'm admitting
folks.
To my mistake of not only did I forget to fast, but I was eating a almond croissant. So not the most
health food.
Yeah, it's not like it had zero cholesterol.
We do that once a week, folks.
Yes, exactly. So I was about halfway through the croissant when I realized, oh crap, I'm giving blood, or I'm getting my blood taken in 4 hours. So
it was literally like mid-bite, mm-hmm. and you're like, shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Both Elle and I just kind of looked at you, and you're like, I'm supposed to be fasting, and like, you took another bite.
Yeah. Well, I already figured I was already halfway down the road.
You're already there, yeah. Going,
so. And it's hilarious because, of course, I get to the doctor's office, and between the two nurses I saw, I think they asked me if I was fasting like a half a dozen times. So,
and you said
they must have saw something in my eyes. Yes. Anywho, but we'll see what the results say this past week, and I'll let you guys know next week when I talk to you. But good week all around. Ready to start another good week this week of working out and exercise. Honestly, because I feel like it's one of those things we can control. And as far as some things that I wouldn't say we can't control, but is somewhat a little bit out of our control, is contamination in food. That's kind of where this whole a portion of the main topic that we're talking about today, and that is kind of the current state of our reproductive health in the Western world. And basically this is based off an article I saw. It's actually several articles. The first one I saw, I think on my iPhone. You know, if you swipe right or something like that, it shows you news headlines.
Yeah.
The one news headline I saw was plummeting sperm counts, shrinking penises, toxic chemicals threaten humanity.
See, and clickbait links do actually work.
Right.
Definitely frowned upon, but yeah, they do work.
Yeah, so this actually was an opinion article written by Aaron Brockovich. So if that name sounds familiar, yes, it's the same person the the movie is based off of. She's an actual person who did become a lawyer and, you know, investigated environmental, kind of environmental health issues, especially clean water and contaminated water and how it affects human, basically, you know, human health. So she wrote an opinion article in The Guardian about basically studies. It was a 2017 study, but it's been followed up this year from Shana Swam. She wrote a new book called Countdown, and it's basically Dr. Swam is a environmental and reproductive entomologist at the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai in New York. And she finds that sperm counts have dropped nearly almost 60% since 1973. Swan's research also suggests that sperm counts could reach zero by 2045. So
that's comforting.
Yes. And I got some more about basically the study that they did. It comes from 2017, but obviously they've been following up to create this book as another kind of, I guess, vehicle to somehow see if we can get this point across, because literally they did the study almost 4 years ago, and I mean, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of, I guess, actions that have been taken. You know, or an action plan put in place to kind of avert these trends. Mm-hmm. So to give you a little bit more about the study, they had basically, it was a meta-analysis of 185 studies over the past half century involving over 40,000 men, or actually, to be more exact, 42,000 men, and that they found that the total sperm count fell 59% between 1973 and 2011. So the book she has is called Countdown, How Our Modern World is Threatening Sperm Counts, Altering Male and Female Reproductive Development, and Imperiling the Future of the Human Race. So basically, a couple of things that their chemicals, industrial chemicals, are really what they believe to be the primary blame for these reproductive changes. Some of these reproductive changes include increasing numbers of babies born with smaller penises, higher rates of erectile dysfunction, declining fertility, eroding sex differences in some animal species, and potentially even behaviors that are thought of as gender typical. So obviously we're not going to explore every one of those topics. There's a follow-up article I found on The Intercept, theintercept.com. The title of it is Toxic Chemicals Threaten Humanity's Ability to Reproduce. That's from actually January of this year. And they did a little interview with Shana Swan, which I highly recommend. But this is something I think we've touched on the amount of plastics there are and microplastics in our water sources in the ocean and mm-hmm. how they're contaminating our drinking water. So this is really just another follow-up to how it's negatively affecting our, basically, everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we've talked about some of this, major chemicals responsible are...
Oh, contributors?
Contributors, yes.
Petroleum-based?
Phthalates? I never know how to pronounce that word.
Oh, yeah. I would actually say the pH would probably be silent and be like phthalates.
Phthalates, okay. Phthalates is probably the main one they talk about in these articles, but they also talk about PFAs, BPAs, you know, some of the things that basically are chemicals contained in plastic. They also talk about pesticides, you know, glyphosate and other ones. Basically, all these chemicals are being concentrated into drinking water sources. Not only are they, you know, people have kind of heard about how fish or seafood are consuming these
microplastics,
and then we're getting them through them, but we're actually getting these, a lot of these chemicals, through our drinking water.
Yeah, which is scary.
You know, I mean, another one is talked about, they talk about in this article is, you know, birth control showing up in what drinking water supplies.
Yep.
So these things are all negatively affecting our reproductive health. I mean, we just had a list of things that they are affecting negatively. But it's a real issue. I mean, this study mainly focused on sperm count in males, and I thought it was also interesting to talk about where the study was, where the main things, kind of where they're finding that this is happening the most, and that is in the Western world. So they define the Western world as, I'm going to try to find it for you guys, because I think it's interesting. It's United States, I believe it's North America, Australia, and New Zealand is what they say is the Western world. Let me just make sure I got this correct. So Western, including North America, Europe, Australia, and New Zealand versus other, including South America, Asia, and Africa. So basically they found that these basically negative reproductive health issues are really on a rise in the Western world. So in the countries like North America, Europe, Australia, and New Zealand, opposed to places like Africa, Asia, and South America. So underdeveloped, less developed, you know, what they would call them.
Yeah.
So
it's like the more densely populated of like the developed world.
Yeah, but even more industrialized too.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're talking like cities. So like industrialized, highly populated areas.
Right.
Like there's a map attached to this study, and it's a lot of the major cities in the country.
Right.
So, I mean, there's a whole bunch of little dots in Florida, there's a whole bunch of dots in California, all up north, east coast.
And this is a different article you're looking at right now, but what's the title of this one?
This is, but it's by Shauna Swan.
Oh, okay.
So it's Scientific American.
Yeah.
This is actually where I first saw this study. It's about reproductive problems in both men and women rising at an alarming rate. So it's the same, based on the same study, on Shauna's meta-analysis, but it's just a different publication. So, I mean, it's very well covered. It's been covered in all kinds of reputable publications, science-related, health-related publications. But the sad truth is, and I think it's not really surprising, I'm going to reference a super nerdy movie for anybody who wants to know that I'm actually a big geek.
Yeah.
Did anybody ever see the movie Ion Flux?
No.
Charlize Theron?
No.
As...
No. No. No.
Yeah.
No.
It was basically like the premise was a dystopian world where men and women couldn't have babies anymore.
Right.
And they were essentially recycling like DNA and making people in labs and like recreating them.
Right.
Because people couldn't have babies themselves. And that was their society and what their whole world was built on. So freaky, crazy as it sounds, like a lot of this stuff, this has been like people's fear.
Well, that's
for
a weird thing. I mean,
for
that's
years.
Yeah, kind of another off topic, but like science fiction is somewhat based in science. Like science fiction topics are, they have some science backing to them. Yes,
right.
They take liberties with.
They
being
may be drastically,
yeah,
like made into fiction. It may be over sensationalized, taken to the worst possible degree. Never mind like reality, but it's usually based in some sort of concern or scientific fear or realm of possibility.
Right. So not to get too going down that rabbit hole too much, because let's get back to this is, I mean, just personally, I would say like talk about we know personally is, I mean, we have friends that are dealing with a lot of the, I mean, you know, I've had family members that have dealt with the infertility issues, you know, that are...
And reproductive issues,
right,
yeah.
Exactly. And I mean, and they even talk about in the article about how the number of miscarriages has gone up tremendously.
Yep.
I mean, that's something that is alarming. So what they're finding, I mean, they found all this data out and all these negative repercussions of these different chemicals that are essentially being concentrated into our water system. And they actually can find in, you know, children. They're actually testing their children's urine and can find it in their urine. But there's no action plan. Like you said, there's like one, they had one example of this Washington State.
It's like, here's all this horrible evidence. There's been nothing done to stop it.
And the thing is, they talk about in here is like when even they put legislation in place, the legislation has essentially loopholes where the company can replace one bad chemical with an even worse chemical because it just gets around whatever the prerequisites are. And I mean, you're talking to a guy who used to work with chemicals on a daily basis, pesticides and herbicides. So it's like they have, you know, legal, you know, lethal limits and stuff like that, and half-life where the how long the chemical will residue will stay in the environment. And, you know, you're talking hundreds of years for certain chemicals, you know. So
yeah,
and it's a heavy thing where, especially here in developed countries, industrial countries, where, you know, companies rely on chemicals in order to make massive amounts of products. I mean, these chemicals are in everything. I mean, like food containers. That's like the one thing they talk about here. Like, mm-hmm. not only is it these chemicals in the water supply, but I mean, they're in food containers. I mean, they talk about how, you know, you used to warm up your baby's formula in like a plastic bag.
You know? Or a plastic bottle.
Yeah, or a plastic bottle. Exactly right. So it's like, it's so crazy to think that, I mean, not crazy because I think people were just looking for convenience and things like that, but they weren't looking at the possible repercussions down the road. And now we've come to that point, but it seems like still some people, or I guess they'll probably the regulation, the people who make regulations aren't in such a rush to fix it.
Yeah.
And we really should be if we're concerned about basically the proliferation of the human race.
Yeah. And I mean, I think there's been a lot of separate studies done over the years. I mean, I know when I was like a teenager or a tween, I remember when I finally got my period, not finally, but when I got my period, I remember my mom like saying, oh my gosh, I can't believe you got it so early. She's like, back when I was a kid, like you were like, you know, well into your teens when you got your period. I think I was in fourth grade. Mm-hmm. I think I was nine when I got mine, and she was just blown away by the fact that I got it so early. And I remember she like looked it up and she told me, she's like, wow, she's like, yeah, she's like, that is so much earlier than like my generation. And like you hear about like, you know, girls and boys like maturing younger, like all those things are impacted. Like there's a big thing about like the hormones that are used in like chickens and stuff like that, and how like you eat the skin of the chicken and it's just like all of the hormones and all of the antibiotics and stuff are in there. It's talking about how all these things affect your immune system and how all of it gets passed into you. I mean, there's so many studies that have been done over the years. When you think about how our society has just grown to tune this out and ignore it. Like, you should go to every single person in your life that's encouraging you to, you know, to be better in the fact of like protecting the environment, but also protecting your family and yourself, mm-hmm. switching to greener, more natural products. It's not all a money ploy.
No.
Like, yes, there are companies that are going to make money off of this because they have to, in order to put all of the companies making money on all the crap products out there, put them out of business. You have to have companies that are going to make money off of the good stuff.
Yeah.
Like, my shoes that I wear almost every day are made out of plastic. The plastic that's collected from, like, the oceans. I pay twice the amount of money, or probably like four times the amount of money for that pair of shoes than I would have at like a set at Target.
Mm-hmm.
Probably like eight times more. But let's be honest, Target's got some great cheap shoes. But I mean, those shoes were completely worth it because I was like, at least this does something.
Yeah.
And it's taking the crap out of the oceans. And you have to start thinking about that, if not for you, thinking about it for that next generation who has to live with our parents' habits, bad habits. They have to live with the consequences. Right. Like, our kids are going to feel the consequences of what we did as a generation and our right. parents did and stuff. So yeah. I think that this study, these things are important to talk about and not turn a blind eye to.
Right. I agree. And like you said, there are so many simple fixes. I mean, we've converted from, you know, we have Tupperware, but we also use glass Tupperware. And then mm-hmm. we have the bags, the silicon. Stasher bags, right?
Yeah, the silicon bags.
And those are great in the substitute for, I mean, gosh, I remember how many sandwich plastic Ziploc
yeah,
sandwich
bags we used to use. So many.
You know, so, I mean, those things have been minimized. And, of course, you know, obviously recycling and things like that. But it is amazing how much, you know, food packaging. You still yeah. go through, and you got to imagine that's going somewhere. If it's not getting recycled, it goes somewhere. So it's really scary to think about. And this is something that I feel, and like when you read through these articles, that there's just not being enough attention being paid to it.
No.
You know, you talk about like the decline, I believe they put it in the articles, the decline in kind of the growth rate around the world is, you know, I think equal to that of the temperature, like the basically it goes like 1 percentage point every year. It goes down, the growth rate goes down, and then like the overall, you know, ocean temperatures go up 1% each year. So it's like, and you see how much
seems gradual in a lifetime, right. But when you look back at just a couple generations, the massive
yeah.
difference that's going to mean,
right. I mean, like you said, that this is this study, the main one we're talking about was from 1973 to 2000, was it 2011? I think it was, let me see, 1980, this one's 1973 to 2011, yeah, so that's what, that's 38 years, and so I mean, almost in that 38 years, and the sperm caps dropped 60%. So it's almost 2% in those 30 years. So that's my lifetime, 30, yeah. you know, 38 years almost. So, I mean, that's a drastic drop in the basic potential to have more children and to basically, you know, proliferate the human race. So, I mean, like growth yeah. rates in especially developed countries, how we already talked about, I mean, I've heard that are going down, you know, the replacement, you know, rate of children opposed to how many people die per year is you know, death rate's higher than the birth rate in these countries we listed. So, and I mean, I think it's just the infuriating part about nothing seems to be paying attention to it. Nobody yeah. seems to be paying attention to
well,
it.
Well, you notice they're going to sell lots of products talking about, you know, the good of the environment. But if they actually started putting on the package, this will help save your sperm count. Like, that would probably sell really well.
I know.
If they started using that, but nobody wants to talk about that.
Hey, I mean, if you really want to get 50% or whatever it is now, it sounds like there's more men than or more women than men. If you say, hey, this is potentially, you know, help the size of your penis, I'm telling you, guys are going to get on board.
They're going to look at it at least.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's like, That's some, I mean, those, like you said, those are some eye-catching titles, you know, of the articles, you know, that Aaron Brockovich wrote about, you know, toxic chemicals and shrinking penises or things like that. But
Right. That's
the result that we're having right now.
Yeah.
You know, because of these toxic chemicals. And it's scary to think about what's going to put your body through, you know, because nobody's going to get away from it, especially yeah. in the United States. You know, there's a certain amount in the drinking water system. I was actually talking with your father-in-law or my father-in-law, your stepdad today about, you know, I used to work in water treatment, and I mean, we used to test for everything. I mean, every chemical, every heavy metal you can think about, bacteria, but we never had tests for like these specific chemicals. Not yet. Now that was 10 years ago.
Like birth control.
Yeah. We didn't have tests for that.
Who would even think to test that?
Right. So, I mean, that's a thing that it might be different now. It's been 10 years since I've been, you know, doing water treatment, but it's one of those things that you don't test to till it's already an issue.
I wonder if, like, there's certain filtration systems that would work.
Right. Yeah. Like I said, I mean, it could be UV, could be chlorine. I mean, chlorine injection was probably one of the main ones for killing any bacteria, but still
it
may not do anything for those type of chemicals. Yeah. I think the main thing I wanted to get across is that in regards to like global issues that get a ton of attention and rightly so, things like global warming or the pandemic or, you know, things like autism or racism, things like that deserve attention and are, I think, hopefully rightly so, getting that attention. This is something I think deserves equal attention, but is not getting it for some reason. And if we don't kind of realize that, it could be really devastating to us down the road. And it sounds like it's coming sooner than later with that prediction of 2045, potentially sperm count being zero in certain countries. So that might be a little bit drastic, but, you know, that's just an extrapolation of some of the models. But, I mean, it's already dropped 60% in the last 30 years. So
yeah,
what says it from dropping the remaining 40%? What's going to stop it?
And remembering that. It's one thing to think about your current place, you know, what's affecting you right now. It's one of the reasons we are so much more focused on those really topical, timely issues, because they're affecting us right now.
Right. That's true.
But these are things that are affecting us now. Maybe we're not feeling impacted by them now,
it's a good point.
It's that next generation that is going to feel the impact. Mm-hmm. So, like, whether it's switching, like, we switched from, I think, like, probably 90% of the chemicals that used to be in our house, we switched when I got pregnant because I became, like, so tuned into the fact that the future was a lot more than just me all of a sudden. And I don't know what that switch that flips is. Like, I was somewhat tuned in, but it didn't seem as important. Try to flip that switch and try to start thinking about, you know, yes, this is having an effect on you right now, but really try to focus on that future impact and look at these things more seriously, because the things we're going through now are really just the tip of the iceberg.
Yep.
And are really just a symptom of a much larger problem. So that's my soapbox.
There you go. So hopefully we might have brought it down a little bit, guys. We're sorry. You know, we hate to be the bringer of bad news, but hey, you know, sometimes you got to get some of that. You got to get the harsh information in order to enact change.
I feel like we should name this episode, like, listen to this podcast to save your penis or something, really, you know.
Perfect.
It's just the podcast to save your penis. What could be better?
The podcast to save your penis.
That's what this is.
That's it, guys.
They're all you out there.
We're talking to you.
Everyone out there.
You out there, fellas. But it also affects you ladies. Okay? Get it. All right. So, yeah. So we brought you down maybe a little bit, but now let's pump you back up.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm not talking about penises anymore.
Thank God.
Okay, so we got our what's got us pumped section. Would you like to go first or second?
Well, I started off by going first, so I might as well finish by going first. I do have some positive. The fact that, like, I think probably about like 60% of my friends now are vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking COVID. We're going back to the current crisis.
Yes.
That everybody's tuned into. I think about, I would say 60 to 70% of like my closer friends are vaccinated at this point. And I'm super excited, because what that means for us here in Florida is that we're going to get visitors again.
Yep.
We're going to, like, people I haven't seen in, like, 2 years that I miss deeply all the time. I get to probably see them this year. And not just this year, but, like, within the next several months. It is bringing me so much joy and so much excitement that I can't even put it into words. I got a text last night from one friend who I've seen for minutes over the last few years, like not enough time. And when she said that she and her husband were thinking about coming down after they get vaccinated and are in the clear in terms of like their, you know, post 2 weeks or whatever, I just about like cried out loud. It was so exciting. And that was on top of hearing that like another, like probably the closest friends, I basically, they're my family. I don't even really just call them friends. They're family. And they're coming down in like a month and a half. And I mean, your family's coming down.
Yep.
And they've got their vaccine scheduled. It's just so freaking exciting. Like, I don't think I realized how much I missed, like, the humans that I truly love all over. I've been making do with virtual connection. But the thought that I actually get to see them is making me so much happier than I even knew it would.
That's good.
So
it's got you pumped, huh?
It's got me beyond pumped. I am thrilled. And yes, I know the CDC doesn't actually recommend travel after the vaccine, and they're still saying be cautious. I know all of these people will be among those who are super cautious and will still wear masks and all of that sort of behavior. And I'm not saying for everybody who's gotten a vaccine, you should run out and travel everywhere. But they're coming here to Florida, and some of them are driving, some of them are flying, and I just, at this point, I don't care. I don't yeah. care what the CDC says. I'm just so freaking excited.
There you go. I'm excited too. So what's got me pumped, probably not as nostalgic as that, or not as heartwarming as that,
the reunion of families and friends. Yeah,
it involves punching and kicking.
Excellent.
So you guys have heard our constant, I would say, lamenting about owning a storage unit still, full of stuff that we don't use. I got one thing out. I got one thing out, and that was my travel heavy bag.
Oh.
So, yeah, so basically I have a heavy bag you can, you know, I use to take to people's house. And it's mainly more of a kickboxing bag. Well, it's actually more MMA because you can ground and pound it. So I gave it to one of my clients, and we've been using it. He was one of my clients who lives a little farther, so we do virtual training mostly, and he's been using it, and he loves it. So
yay.
We've been really getting a lot of good use out of it.
Didn't
he
say his kids actually
yep.
are enjoying
his
it?
His daughters are
his
using
daughters
it, too.
His daughters are enjoying it. That
his daughters are,
joy.
You know, high school age, about to go to college, so that's good, and I'm very excited that somebody's getting some good use out of it, because it was just sitting in our storage unit,
yep.
collecting dust. So somebody gets some use out of it, which is makes me happy. And hopefully we can get our own heavy bag here. That's the next step. Next step is probably emptying the entire storage unit.
Yeah.
Then maybe
first things first.
Yes. So that's what's got me pumped. That yay. I get to pass on. The heavy bag I bought years ago is now getting some good use.
Yeah, it's a new home.
So, yes. So, a little silver lining to this podcast, guys. Remember, the podcast to save your penis.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's important stuff.
Save the podcast. Save your penis. No. Heroes reference? No.
Wow.
Okay.
I can't.
I told you I was a nerd.
Yep. There's nothing else I can say to top that. You got anything else for them? Any other
I don't know
fun
how I can
sayings
top that.
Related
I
to?
I don't know how I can top that.
All right. Good. I agree. This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness Podcast, and we'll check you next time.
Bye.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter, @TheATFPodcast, and like and follow the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes store. Thanks.